Well, let's open our Bibles up this morning. Want to continue the teaching on the Holy Spirit. And it's entitled this morning, Something More is Needed. How many of you guys ever felt that before? Felt like there's just something more is needed in my life. And this is something that I want to share with you this morning. So let's come before the Lord. Father, I thank you for the sheer privilege of standing before this church and speaking your word. I ask, Father, for your anointing. I ask, Father, for your power and your wisdom. And I ask, Father, that you would speak to each and every heart that's here today. I pray, Father, that you would anoint their ears to hear. Anoint their hearts to receive, their spirits, Father, to be open to you and to what the voice of the Lord would have them hear today. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives. Help us to tap into that power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know what I keep forgetting doing? Taking up the offering. If you would... Here's what we'll do. We'll take it up right after, okay? We'll take it up right after. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Also, whenever we take up the offering, when you fill out your tithe and stuff, if you want to make your check out as far as the Rock the Lakes, just write it out to New Freedom Church, and we'll get that check, one check to Rock the Lakes, okay? So, all right, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It says, Jesus is saying this. It's interesting what Christ's final words were before he ascended concerning concerning spiritual power. In Luke 24, verse 49, it says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Let me tell you something. If the Father promises something, he always fulfills his promises, right? Some of us may have fathers in the house this morning that their fathers did not fulfill their promises. All right? But when our Heavenly Father promises something, He always comes through. Amen? There's no doubt about His word. There's no fretting about whether He's going to be too busy or if He's going to forget about it. If the Father in heaven has said that He would do something, you can take that to the bank. He is going to do it. Amen? And so Jesus has said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Randy, if you would you go ahead and just want to bring a little illustration here. Go ahead and shut the thing off, the screens and everything. I can still see your faces, so. You know, it's a funny thing about power. We all need it in our lives. We have, we were born into it. There was not a time that I didn't know about light bulbs and electricity, about air conditioning, being in the South, okay? You got to have air conditioning. That's just the way it is. I told my realtor when she was bringing us around Green Bay and showing us houses. She brought us into one house that didn't have any AC in it. And I said, I'm done. And she said, well, it's not that bad here. I said, no, I want AC. I want it. So when we bought our house, it had AC in it. But we don't have to go down by the creek and get our water. We have indoor plumbing now. We have all these different things. And one of the things that how many of you guys have ever had your electricity just to go completely out? All of us have, right? And so you're sitting there going, huh, what am I going to do now? And you know, the thing about this flashlight is that this thing is completely worthless without the battery inside of it. It illuminates everything in the room. If I need to find my way out, I know there's an exit. See the exit signs, they're illuminated so that you know exactly where the exits are. And so if you'll go this way and this way, there's the exit signs, all right? And so this light is operating on a power that's not its own. It's operating because it has a battery inside of it that illuminates and sheds light on everything that it touches. And it's not because the flashlight is supernatural in and of itself. It's that it's built to receive and to illuminate light. It's built for that. And the only way that it can illuminate light that's not its own is if it has a battery to give it power to do what it's created to do. Amen? And because the battery is in it, it's working properly and what it was created to do, and that is to shed light when the power goes out. Because without the battery, it would just be worthless. I'd be shining it somewhere and there's no light whatsoever. But I can hit a button and there the light is. And it's not because that this little light is extraordinary. It's because there's a battery inside of it that's giving its power. Because the flashlight needs something else besides itself. It needs something to empower. Go ahead, Randy, turn the lights back on. It needs something else other than itself to help bring it to its full potential. And that's the battery that's inside the thing. It's the same thing for the lights in here and every convenient, modern convenience that we have. If you go out into your car and you remove one battery cable, just one, wrecks the whole thing. You're not going to have contact. You're not going to be able to start your car. If one little computer chip goes out, your car is shot. And so it's important that we understand that there is more needed also in our lives. You and I are built for a specific reason. You and I were built and placed in this city, in this time in history for a reason. And that is to make His name great. Amen? And the Bible says in Luke 24:49, Jesus is telling His disciples right before He ascends up into heaven, He said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, it was as if Jesus was saying that having the right message wasn't good enough. As we share our faith, we have the opportunity, and we'll be faced with so many strongholds and so many evil occurrences as we share our faith. As you get into situations where you feel overwhelmed because the need is great, and you feel like that in yourself you cannot overcome, you cannot pray hard enough, or you don't have enough wisdom or understanding, and you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, know this: God has sent His Holy Spirit in the land to direct, to empower, to embolden, to strengthen, to give you understanding and wisdom and knowledge that is not your own. He has given the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome those circumstances. Amen? The Bible doesn't say that we have got to give an answer for everything, because we cannot do it. In our power, we do not have the strength. We do not have all the understanding and the wisdom that we need to help the hurting. We do not have enough love to give to people that are loveless. We don't have enough people, we don't have enough compassion to give to those that need compassion. We don't have enough wisdom and understanding and counsel to give wisdom and understanding and counsel to everybody. Sometimes I listen to people in their situations and I'm going, I have no clue what to tell you. So when you're sitting across from me, know that's what's going through my head. Just kidding. But sometimes whenever, as believers, we're faced with certain situations and we have no clue what to do. It is beyond us. It's over our pay grade. But there is one that has called along beside us, called the Holy Spirit, that makes up the difference. Amen? Because without the Holy Spirit in our life, we are just like this flashlight without a battery. Because the light that we have naturally cannot shine bright enough. It cannot be focused enough. It cannot be illuminated enough. We need the light of the Holy Spirit to give an answer to this world. Amen? And the only way that we can do that is to be exposed by that on a regular basis. You know, I was watching a commercial for pull-ups for kids the other day. Isn't it amazing what kind of spiritual stuff you get out of, you know, whatever? But this dad had, he was trying to convince his toddlers to wear their pull-ups. And he had pull-ups on his elbows, pull-ups on his head. You know, I'm thinking, if you have to do that for the love, I mean, just, you know, he's going to extreme measures to get his kids to wear these pull-ups. But the way that they did this was the pull-ups, when you flash the light on the pull-ups, they glow. So Ernie glows in the dark. So he shuts the light off, and the kids are running around, and they've got Ernie glowing on their pull-ups and everything else. And so the only way that those glow-in-the-dark things can glow is if they're illuminated by what? Light. Without light, it's worthless. It doesn't work. But when the light is focused upon that particular thing, it illuminates. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you powerless on this earth. I'm going to send the very one that my Father has promised you, but I want you to wait in the city until you are clothed with power. Everybody say, clothed with power. So many times we try to operate on our own power instead of waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit on our life. And then what happens is we become frustrated, we become irritated with God because we're trying to harness all of our energy and all of our strength and all of our understanding on the situation. And what happens is it leaves us frustrated every single time. How many of you guys ever felt that way? Felt frustrated and you felt like that you've been in a rut and the rut was created by your own good works. And so many times, it's like I said earlier, we get caught up in so many good things that we forget to worship the Lord. We get caught up in our own goodness that we're blinded by it. And the power that we try to shed on this world is our own willpower. And that own willpower is not enough. There is a difference. There's a difference maker out there, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he is given unto all men. Men and women, children as well. Everyone that asks, the Bible says he will give. Amen. We see Moses, even though that he had the right message, he wasn't getting through to Pharaoh, was he? And so what did he do? He started demonstrating the power of God by sending plagues. And even then, Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. And so Moses, he took a staff and he threw his staff on the ground and it became a snake. And then Pharaoh's magicians came along and they threw down a staff on their own and it became a snake. But the story doesn't end there. The Bible says that the staff that Moses threw down and turned into a snake devoured the other snake. There's always going to be counterfeits out there. There's always going to be something that is going to raise its head up against the knowledge and wisdom of God. And when that moment comes in our life, we need to understand that we have got to have the real McCoy in our life. Without it, it's just counterfeit. You ever go to the store and they take those markers on your $20 bills and they check it? You pray to God it turns yellow? I gave the cashier a $50 bill the other day. I said, oh, please, God, let it turn yellow. And it did. That's how you know the genuine article. And when Moses began to display the power of God in the face of Pharaoh, his message lined up with the power of God, and it set the people free. And when the power lines up with the message that we're portraying to this world, it will set people free. Amen? It's not by our own understanding. It's not by our wisdom. But by His Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? It's time that we start operating under a different spirit, under a different anointing, under a different power that's not our own. A power that causes us to overcome. A power that causes us to be delivered and set free. To be set up on a high place so that we can see and see the perspective of the Lord. So many times we get caught up in our own business. Sometimes we get caught up in and overwhelmed with our own situations. I've been painting all week long. My knees are red from being on my knees painting, and I've been caught up and just tired. Yesterday, I just sat in my recliner and just laid there, snoozed for a little while. It was great. Woke myself up snoring. How many of you guys ever wake yourself up snoring before? It's wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those good naps you just enjoy. You know, you get refreshed. And so many times we get caught up in our own world and our own mess and our own things and our own agenda. But you know, as believers, there's an agenda that God has placed on our life the day that we are converted. And that is, Jesus' agenda was this: to touch the hurting, to set free the captives, to loose those that are in bondage, bring deliverance for those that are bound up. That was Jesus' whole mission in life. That is our mission as well. Look, God will continue. In the beginning, when Jesus, he used those fishermen and he used that despised tax collector, he did that for a reason. He didn't call professional religious people. He didn't call one Pharisee to be his disciple. He didn't call one priest. He had all kinds of priests that I'm sure were top level scholars in those days, but Jesus didn't do that. He used the foolish things of this world, smelly fishermen. Fishermen was hard. I mean, everything, fishing was hard. Pulling those nets, there was no such things as electric pulleys and all those different things. It was done by brute strength. These guys were tough. Their faces weathered by the sun. I mean, these guys were hardcore. And yet Jesus looked at these guys that nobody else found any kind of value whatsoever, and he said, "Put down your nets and come with me. I'm going to cause your crazy life to do extraordinary things if you'll listen to me. If you'll get past your own stuff and your own weaknesses and your own problems, and if you'll listen to my teaching, if you'll obey my word, if you will come close to me and listen to my heart, I will cause this mundane life that you have to be extraordinary." And Jesus did this. He did this to set the precedent for today. He still uses our flaws. Amen? I said last week that so many people tell me, when I get this stuff straightened out in my life, I'm going to come to church. When I overcome this addiction, I'm going to start coming to church because I feel like that I'm good enough to come to church. The Bible says that there's none good, no, not one. So all of us are disqualified from day one. We are in need of a Savior from birth. We need the Lord. Our great need for Him is paramount. We have got to serve the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, even in our flaws, He can be glorified. Amen? So it's not about waiting until we are cleaned up so God can use us. It's about your obedience and allowing Him to use you in your life. Amen? And whenever we say, "Lord, I don't know when you're going to deliver me of this. I don't know when you're going to take this problem away from me. I don't know how long I'm going to have to deal with this in my life." Apostle Paul said, "I've got a thorn in my flesh, man." Never revealed what it was. A lot of scholars think it was probably some kind of disorder that he had. But he didn't wait until that disorder was cleared up before he said, "Lord, yeah, now you can use me." And the disciples and being fishermen, they didn't say, "Well, Lord, let me go and learn how to be dignified before I can follow you. Let me go and learn all these different ways before I can follow you." No, they dropped what they were doing. In other words, they dropped their inadequacies. They dropped their junk, and they went and they followed Jesus. And they were empowered and emboldened by the teachings of Jesus to do extraordinary things, so that a preacher like me can convey to you that even in your junk, God can still use you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's a lot depending on your obedience to the Lord. Now, think about this situation, all right? Think about the situation the disciples were in. Here Jesus was. He had been teaching them for 3 solid years. About the kingdom. He'd been teaching them demonstrations of power, people being healed, delivered. One crazy guy in a graveyard was set free. He was chained up, probably barking at them and naked and just dirty. And Jesus came out and he off the boat and looked at him and said, "Come out in Jesus' name. In my name." And they left. And he was delivered. And the Bible says that this man went to proclaim the goodness of God throughout the entire town. And you see, the disciples had seen this stuff. They had heard about the kingdom of God. They had heard about Jesus going away and being killed and raised on the third day. And they had heard about all this stuff, but it hadn't quite made sense to them. But now here they are. Jesus has risen from the grave, and the disciples has seen the scars in his hands and has seen the wound in his side and has seen the marks where the crown of thorns had been placed, and they had seen the risen Christ and had been in his presence now for 40 days and all of a sudden everything, all the teachings, all the storylines, all the stories that Jesus had taught had finally begun to make sense, and the disciples were ready to storm hell with a water pistol. I mean, they were fired up. They weren't quite sure if Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. They were still depressed. Even on the third day, they were still depressed over their Savior being killed. Some of them didn't even recognize him as they walked beside him along the road. But here they have this newfound revelation. They have Jesus, the risen Jesus, the risen Lord, in their presence, in their sight. And now they're ready to take on the world. There's nothing that they feel like that they cannot do. And they're ready to go out and tell the people that there is a better way, that the risen Christ is here and all these things. And you would think that Jesus would be like, just let them go. But he didn't. Because he knew the trappings of this world that were waiting on them when they went out to profess his name. They knew that there was powers and dominions that were much greater than their enthusiasm, much greater than their greatest fears. And that is, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "No, do not go. Wait in the city. Wait until you're clothed with power from on high. Wait until you are clothed with power that you did not earn, that you did not receive on your own. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you with power." Why? Because something more is needed. Something more is needed in our life. Wait for what? Jesus knew that they were going to need, they couldn't just depend on their own intellect, that they couldn't depend on their sincere hearts. They needed something more. Look with me in Acts 2, 1 and 4. Acts chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. Jesus said, "I want you to wait. Go into the city and wait until you have been clothed with power from on high." Acts 2, verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Spirit was poured out just as Jesus had promised. What the prophet Joel predicted happened in Acts 2 and 17. It says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Everybody say, all people. Say, I'm included in that. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I was looking at this when the prophet Joel had prophesied this. It said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those last days. It's important that he said that and brought those distinctions, because what the prophet Joel was trying to say was, it doesn't mean if you're a man, it doesn't matter if you're a woman or a child, young or old. The Holy Spirit has come so that all may taste and see. The Holy Spirit has come so all will be empowered with His power. Amen? And when He made those distinctions, He was saying that there is none that will be left out. If you ask, you shall receive. Amen? And so when the prophet Joel said this, there is a new day for all believers, because we can now operate. We can now shine a specific beam of light that is not our own on a situation into somebody's life that will bring joy, that will bring peace, that will bring comfort and victory. Not because you're something special, but because He is something powerful. Amen? We need to understand where our source of power comes from. And our source of power comes from heaven above, not from within here. Amen? And it's important today that we understand that we need that power. We cannot survive without that power. Amen? It's important that receiving the Holy Spirit and being empowered by Him is not an option. We need it. Amen? It's like somebody finding the cure for cancer. And we say, no thanks, I think I've got this handled. I'm going to try this on my own. No, we're going to run to that cure that has set us free from cancer. Amen? We're going to run to that thing. We're not going to say, hey, I'm just going to try it on my own. I'm going to try some other different natural pills or whatever. No. We're going to make an appointment immediately and go after the cure. Well, listen to me. There's a cure for humanity. I don't want to oversimplify this thing, but there's a cure for all humanity. There's an answer for every longing and every man and woman and child's heart today. And that answer is Jesus. And the only way that God can empower us to speak His great name is if we ask and receive the Holy Spirit in power. Talked last week about the Holy Spirit in fire and how that a lot of times in the Scripture, God uses the analogy of fire to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. I taught you that power purifies, the fire purifies, it burns up all the impurities, and what's left is pure. Amen? And so I want to encourage you today to be empowered with something that is not your own, but be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He said, I have given you this so that you may receive power. Amen? Jesus told the disciples, He said, I know you're hyped up. I know you've seen me now in my glorified form. I know you want to go out and preach my name. I know you want to go out and do all these things, but there are hurdles that are bigger than your enthusiasm. There are demonic forces out there that are greater than your best intentions. There's demonic forces out there that are stronger than your most concentrated prayer. And you need something more than your own enthusiasm. You need the power and working of the Holy Spirit in your life to break down strongholds, to release the ones that are in captive. Amen? These are the things that you can do as a believer, not just me as your pastor, but you as the believer. You have the power and the authority to break down those strongholds that you cannot see that are in operation now in the heavenlies. You have the power to not have to any longer stand for it. But you now can speak those things into your life and call yourself free and redeemed. Amen? You don't have to call me to be set free. You can lay hands on yourself and say, I thank you, Father, that you have given me the Holy Spirit to overcome in this life, and I will by his name. Amen? So I want to encourage you today, operate in something that is bigger than yourself. Operate in something that is bigger and stronger than your own wisdom and your own intellect. Operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit was needed then, has anything changed today? No. If anything, we need it more desperately today than any other time. I was talking to Mark this morning about, we were watching Fox News, and we were watching, I call it he said, she said, and politics. And, you know, it's hard to know exactly what the truth is, even on both aisles. We see the state of our country and the state of what it is today, the moral decay that's in our country today. I was talking to him and said, "What's happening is that we're trying to doctor the symptoms, and we're not looking at the core issue of what's going on in our country. The core issue is in our country is that we have abandoned God." We have abandoned his precepts. We have kicked God out of our schoolhouses and out of our government houses, and we have replaced it with a social agenda that the government can cure every ill that you possibly have. And it's a time in this place now that if God can use fishermen 2,000 years ago, he can use a truck driver. He can use a college professor. He can use a person that works in security. He can use a college student. He can use you that are retired. He can use me that is a humble preacher. He can use you as a college student, as a mom and dad. He can use you to give an answer to this world. And all those answers have to come through the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Amen? We desperately need it today. Because without it, we cannot overcome strongholds. Without it, we cannot overcome. Without it, we can have no peace. It's only through the Spirit of God. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Paul wrote this concerning his inadequacies. He said, when I came to you, he's talking to the Corinthian church. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but on God's power. Now, I'm going to say this. Paul, he was by no means a slouch. This man had risen to the upper echelon and the Pharisee system there. He was no ignorant individual. This man was very intelligent. But he was telling the Corinthian church, he said, I didn't come with you with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, matter of fact, I came to you with my knees knocking, trembling. And he said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And the reason why is because of this, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. So in other words, Paul was saying, what qualified me was that I didn't know much except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. How many of you guys know Jesus Christ and Him crucified? As far as I know, you're qualified. As far as I know, you're qualified to be a mouthpiece. As far as I know, you're qualified to bring hope to a lost and dying generation. As far as I know, you're qualified to give an answer for all those who have questions about God. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, I'll get back to you later. The Bible says, don't get caught up in quarrelsome words and stupid arguments. Like that argument I was talking to you about where I was trying to convince a buddy to be saved while another person was trying to tell me about tongues, interpretations of tongues, and my buddy was sitting there. We were arguing back and forth, and my unbelieving friend was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I stopped, and I said, you know what? The only thing I know is that I'm saved. The only thing I know that there's a change in my life. And who I was a week ago is not who I am today. And it's because Jesus died for my sins. And that brings it in perspective. That's all I know. That's all I can tell you. And that wasn't done under my utterance. That was done under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. And it can be done for you as well. Paul said, I didn't come with just brilliance, with scholarly words, but I came with demonstration of power. Why? So that you wouldn't put your trust in man's wisdom, but you would put your trust in the power of God. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit wasn't given so that we could also have exciting services. How many of you guys like exciting services? I do. I like to be caught up in the presence of the Lord. I love to feel His presence when I'm worshiping. I love to feel His presence while I'm preaching, while I'm sitting under some other's teaching. I love laying hands on people. I love when the Holy Spirit is manifesting Himself. But the Holy Spirit wasn't given so that we could have tremendous and awesome services. It wasn't so that we could be caught up in the euphoria of the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit was given so that we could demonstrate, not with power from ourselves, but power from on high, that God is the answer. God's focus has always been on humanity and nothing else. Amen? And when we get off of that, then we're not on the same page that the Lord is on. And it's important that we stay on the same page. Now, I want to read something to you out of this book that I got from Jim Cimbala called Spirit Rising. It says this. It says, think about the need of the people around us. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know beforehand the right things to say. And more important, we should not be afraid to get down in the trenches with hurting people and their tangled lives. The Spirit's power was promised for those very situations. The Holy Spirit was sent so that all of us, whether or not we are formally ministers, could reach out to humanity and rely on a power beyond ourselves. A lot of times the reason why that we don't want to get in other people's situation is because we feel like we're going to get over our head and we don't know what to do. And you know what? You're absolutely right. When you reach out to people and you set aside your struggles and you see somebody that's hurting, you're going to be in situations where you don't know what to do. You don't know what the right answer is. I've been in those situations. And anything that you say seems small, seems very insignificant. But it's in those times that we need to understand that greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. that even though that we don't know exactly what to say, the power of the Holy Spirit has emboldened us to do this, to pray, to have compassion, to love beyond our means, to bring peace to people that are hurting. That's what your life has the potential to do. Do you understand the significance of your life? Do you understand the significance of the hurts that you've been that has been on you? Do you understand the value of your life? Do you understand the potential power that you have through the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Because if you don't, then you need to realize that power, because it's there for the taking. The Bible says, Joel prophesied that it's for everybody, men and women, servants, Jews, Gentiles, blacks, whites, every single person that lives and breathes, it's for you. Amen? Isn't it amazing when the Spirit works through ordinary people like us? I love it. I love to see that. One of the things that we're going to be doing in upcoming months is I'm going to be casting a vision about cell groups. And one thing that cell groups does, it's a beautiful thing. It brings a realization of the potential that you have through the Holy Spirit. Because it brings to light the spiritual giftings and callings in your life. And I can't wait to see your eyes open so that you can see the potential that God can do through your life. That He can turn you from something ordinary to something extraordinary. That lights the way. That even though you don't have all the answers, you can point them to somebody that does. God doesn't call us to have all the answers. But He has called us to proclaim His name. To be a light in a dark world. The Bible says not to hide our light under a what? A bushel. You know, we think that's just for children. But really it isn't. We adults, we big kids need that reminder as well. Because even though the battery is in and the Holy Spirit is there, if we hide that light, it's still no good. But it's only until we say, all right, Lord, I choose to follow You. And whatever You want me to do, wherever You want my light to shine, I will do it. Not under my anointing, not under my understanding, but by Your Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke 11, and we'll close with this. Let's look at that. Luke 11, 13. This is Jesus talking. He said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if the Father has promised a gift, He's not going to set a gift in front of us. How crazy would it be, dads, if on you listen to your kids' wishes for Christmas and you see their top choice. We tell my boys know that they get three things for Christmas. That's it. And I said, so make your list and check it twice. And what happens is that they really choose what they really want. And out of that list, we pick which one that we feel like that they need to have. And so they don't know what they're going to get. And so on Christmas morning, they know that they have picked the very best of what they want. And so they know that in those boxes, they anticipate something great in those boxes. And how evil would it be of me to tell my kids that what you've asked for are in those boxes, but I'm not going to let you have it. It's right in front of you, but I'm not going to let you have it. God says this. He said, look, I have given you a gift. Put a pretty bow on it, and It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you ask of me, I'll give it to you. I will embolden you. I will empower you to do works beyond your wildest dreams. But you got to ask me for it. I encourage you today, ask for the gift. Because he's not going to deny you. He's going to give it to you. Amen. He's going to give you something that is beyond your means. I dare you to ask him. Let's all stand up this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, I come before you this morning and I thank you for this teaching, Lord, that you've given me. And I ask, Father, this morning that you would embolden us to ask. Lord, some of us are hindered because of our own inadequacies and we feel that we are not even worthy to ask. And truth be told, we're not. But you died so that we could be redeemed. You died so that we could live an extraordinary life. Not an extraordinary life that brings us comfort and ease. You never promised that, Lord. You never promised that once we accept you that and made you Lord of our life, you never promised that there would be comfort and ease. Matter of fact, you told your disciples that the Son of God has no place to lay his head. And if you had troubles, you being the very Son of God, if you being the Son of God was crucified, was lied to, was beaten, was misunderstood, then Lord, how can we expect to live a life of comfort and ease? Lord, you never promised that, but what you did promise was that the Holy Spirit was for all of those who would ask, and that you would give great graciously, lavishly you would give. You gave us the Holy Spirit not that we would be comfortable, not that we would be at peace, but we would be empowered and emboldened to give an answer to all those who seek after one. And so, Father, today, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And today, I ask if there's anybody here today, under the sound of my voice, that says, man, I've got to have that. I've got to have that Holy Spirit. I've got to have that working in my life. I want to pray for you today. And I believe that when you walk out of this door, you will be operating under an anointing, under an influence that you've never operated under before. You will be emboldened to do great and mighty things beyond your means. And if that's you here today, I want you to come and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe that you will be emboldened, you'll be empowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit to do His work, to proclaim His righteousness, to overcome in areas that you can't get the victory in. So today, if there's anybody, I want you to come. I'm going to pray.